As we again commemorate today the beginning of the Reformation, it's worth remembering what exactly that word means. Reformation is to improve something's form or condition, or, on the other hand, to remove faults or problems. Simply, to reform something is to change it for the better. So the idea behind calling those events of the 16th century a Reformation is that there were serious problems with the medieval church, and the events of the 1500s were steps in the right direction to changing it for the better. And we would certainly say there were issues, and we thank God that at least some of them have been addressed. And we remember and we commemorate the leaders of this reforming movement. Martin Luther, of course, as well as many others whose names might not be so familiar to you. Philip Melanchthon, Nicholas von Amsdorf, Johann Bugenhagen, Spalatin, Chemnitz, many more, because Luther did not work alone. It is, of course, good to remember those who have gone before us in faith. We thank God for what he did for them, and for what he has given to us through them. But we are on the wrong track if we make Reformation Day all about Luther and the others, or if we make it about ourselves and our own church and our heritage, whatever else it might take on. The real and vital message of remembering our Reformation history is not just to go hooray at our ancestors or their hard work at theological spring cleaning. In fact, the real message is not about them at all, which is, in fact, how Luther himself wanted it. In a sermon in 1522, only 5 years after the 95 Theses were posted, Luther said this: "What is Luther? The teaching is not mine, nor was I crucified for anyone. How did I, poor stinking sinner that I am, come to the point where people call the children of Christ by my evil name? I will preach the word, I will teach it, I will write it, but I will constrain no one by force, for faith must come freely, without compulsion. I opposed indulgences and all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept, or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." It was, in fact, that same year, 1522, that the Lutheran Reformation gained one of its most distinctive mottos. Verbum Dei manet in aeternam is how it read in Latin. That motto, or its initials, VDMA, were embroidered on court clothing. They were put on flags and banners. They were carved into suits of armor. They were signed on documents, emblazoned on anything related to the Lutheran cause. Verbum Dei manet in aeternam means the word of God endures forever. Calls to mind passage of scripture: the flower fades, the grass falls, but the word of God endures forever. Just as Luther said, I did nothing. The word did everything. Of course, when he says that all he did was sleep and drink beer with his friends, that is not to say he was lazy. He preached, he taught, he wrote endlessly. He also spoke about the word of God being placed in our own sinful mouths, or in a book that we hold in our hands at our mercy. And he connected those to the incarnation. Just as God took on humanity and was laid as a helpless baby in the manger, God also put his word in the hands and the mouths of sinful men, wrapped in the swaddling clothes of our own speech. As 2 Corinthians says, God puts his treasures in jars of clay. He uses us weak and imperfect people to carry his message. And this also helps us, helps remind us that the real work is done by the word. It's done by the message and not by the messenger. The real work of changing hearts and lives, the real work of reforming sinners into children of Christ, can only be done by the living, active word of God. And this word is not just the text of scripture. This word is the living gospel message. This word is what points us back to the word incarnate, Jesus himself. The hymn that we sang a few minutes ago, "Thy Strong Word," is a great proclamation of this. It's worth paying close attention to the words of that hymn, because as it testifies to all that God has done and continues to do, it's really a brief summary of the whole Bible in six stanzas. And so the beginning, in verse 1, is, well, the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and things happened. Let there be light. He made the earth and sky and stars by speaking. He made all the creatures in water, sky, and land by speaking. And at the very end, he spoke again, and he said, "It is very good." And this creation, even that bare essential fact that something exists instead of nothing, that itself is a part of God's grace. And it was done through his strong word. And yet, going on to the second stanza, as we know, it didn't stay that way. Because of human disobedience and sin, the world has suffered. We have suffered. As the hymn says, we dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death. But God was not content with that. He chose to redeem his creatures. Verse 2 is also about Christmas, about the incarnation and the Son of God coming into the flesh. Into this darkness broke the light of thy salvation, breathed thine own life breathing breath. The word of God rang out in the darkness and brought the world into being. The word of God entered the darkness in a Bethlehem stable. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he continued to speak this strong word. As verse 3 says, this word speaks and makes us righteous. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus speaks to a paralyzed man. He says, your sins are forgiven. And then turning to the Pharisees standing around, and so that you may know that that I have the power to forgive sins on earth, get up and walk. He speaks the strong word and the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead rise up. He speaks the strong word and sins are forgiven. New life is granted. All this culminates on Calvary. From the cross, thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. From the cross, Jesus speaks again. It doesn't sound like a strong word there in the moment. But he speaks again and he says, it is finished. The atonement for sins, the redemption of the world, it is finished. There on the cross, in blood and pain and death, that is the conquering might and the redeeming light of God. So that's the first four verses of the hymn. God made us, God continues to bless us in this world, and God saved us through everything Jesus has done. But notice one thing about all of that. What about me? All that's about what God is doing. As Luther said, I did nothing, but the Word did everything. It's only when we get to verse 5 that we get to do anything. Lips to sing, tongues to proclaim, throats to shout, mouths to speak. We are allowed to receive this strong, living, active Word of God that does everything, and we are given the privilege of speaking it ourselves, reading it ourselves, proclaiming it to the world. We respond to all that God's strong Word has done by praising Him for it, and then by proclaiming that very same Word and Gospel to others. And finally, verse 6 ends with a song of praise, doing just what we prayed we could do in the previous one. It is a song of praise like the song that we glimpse the saints in heaven singing around God's throne in the book of Revelation. The song of praise to the Holy Trinity that goes on forever. And this is all pointing us back towards that core, essential gospel message. The one that we heard from our reading in Romans chapter 3 today. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. You know, maybe justified is a word that has mostly lost its meaning for us. It's one of those church words we don't use very much outside of these walls. You know, words like justification and righteousness and so forth. What does that really mean to us? How do we take that outside of the church context, outside of these four walls, and apply it and understand it in everyday life? Well, think about this. You open up a word processor program on a computer, Microsoft Word or one of the others, and there's four basic ways that you can set the text. You can align it to the left side of the page, you can align it to the right side of the page, you can have it centered right in the middle, and the fourth option, you can set it to justified. And if you set it to that one, so the text is justified, that means the text is evenly spread across the whole page. The idea is to keep both sides of the column exactly even and to present a clean, tidy shape with nothing out of place. Think like how a newspaper column often looks. That is justified. Nothing out of place, even all around. Everything is put right and nothing is out of line. A place for everything and everything in its place. So when we talk about being justified in God's sight, it's much the same thing. We want to stand before God with nothing out of line, everything proper and correct. And the essential message of the Christian faith is that we cannot do that on our own. We can't do that through our own work or obedience or goodness or anything. That's Paul's point, and that's the Bible's point. We will appear before God proper and correct only one way, through faith. A person is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is God's strong word that declares us justified, that declares that by His grace and for the sake of Christ, we are indeed proper and correct and right with Him. So the real work of Reformation was not done by Martin Luther. It's not done by us or anyone else. The real work of Reformation, the real work of changing something for the better, is done by the Word of God. The very first, the most important thing that has to be changed is us. The Word of God reforms the Christian church, and the Word of God reforms us. It changes us for the better by bringing us to Christ and to justification by faith in Christ. There was a saying back then among the Reformers, justification is the article of faith on which the church stands or falls. The real Reformation is justification. We are regarded by God as proper and correct. We are changed for the better by grace through faith. We celebrate Reformation because it is not just a historical event. It is the story of the body of Christ, both then and now and always, as the strong and the living Word of God forms and reforms. And so we rejoice today, once again, in the announcement of the good news, the proclamation of God's favor. God speaks, and things happen. And in Christ, He speaks for you. And so, we remember this call to always bear witness to God and to the gospel, to teach, to proclaim, to be faithful witnesses. And having done that, perhaps sit back and crack open a beer. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.